I actually started traveling when I was 20, but I retired at age 49. So for the last 10 and a half years, I've been traveling nonstop. 90% would be overseas, 10% Australia.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors health care.
Do you think overseas travel is unaffordable? Well, I've got a special guest on our show that is living proof that you can travel pretty well 365 days of the year and still save money as well. That's right. Shane Thomas, an Australian, has been traveling for 40 years and full-time for over 10 years, and he does it on a shoestring. So here is part two of this two-part series where Shane Thomas shares some of his best tips for traveling on a budget and some of the best countries that he has found to live in. What are your other major expenses? I suppose you have to have a phone and internet connection, or you get the internet connection from the hotel, so you're just up for the cost of your phone while you're in each country.
Typical phone cost for a local SIM, which is what you do. You don't roam. You just get a local SIM, particularly if you're staying there for weeks or months. And the cost of that would be about 10 to 15 Aussie. If you want data, you might pay a bit extra, but that's available.
And you eat where the locals eat, I assume.
Yes. And I've even refined that even more because I have a lot of Australian friends. They know where the deals are on certain nights of the week, and we can even eat Western food very, very cheaply.
That's good to know. Is there some network of traveling expat we can hook into, or how do you find out when you're on the road? What's the best way to get some local tips in countries where you're visiting?
The smart thing to do is to befriend expats. If someone's living there for some months or maybe even years, they obviously know everything about that city, where to eat, what to do, where's safe, not safe. They just know all the deals. It's like you knowing where things are on your supermarket shelf at home. That's the way these people get. Because they live there, they really know it well. So if you meet someone like that, you're going to get the royal tour. You can find out generally on the net where expats hang out in certain cities, which are popular. There is a way to seek that type of person.
Where are you off to after you leave Australia?
I'm going back to the Philippines, but I couldn't resist a cheap airfare to Boracay. Boracay is a famous island in the Philippines that's usually rated in the top 10 beaches of the world every year. And it is a nice, clean island, perhaps a little over-touristed at times, but there are quiet areas. And I found a way to live there cheaply. Of course, you eat local food, but most tourists wouldn't even be aware that local food is available because they're going to the main expensive places on the beach. And the hotel that gone up since I was there last time, but it's gone up to about $250 Australian for the month, and I'll be staying there 2 months.
Wow. So what's your favourite thing to do in these countries? If you're going to a beach place, does that mean you enjoy swimming?
I'm crazy. I don't swim. I mean, of course I can swim, but I don't bother to swim. What I do is walk along the beach for the sunset, taking photos, talking to people. And that's why I've got so many great photos, because if you went to a nice place for one day, you're not likely to get that brilliant sunset. But if you're there for 2 months and you walk along every night, you're going to get some amazing pictures.
Wow. Do you share your photos?
Generally not. I've had many people say that I could sell them on the internet, but I don't want to get into a situation where I'm doing it as a business. I'm just happy being an amateur, just doing my own thing.
Mm. And before we finish up, so what do you take with you? What does your luggage weigh? What do you pack?
Because I love my budget airlines, what they do is everything is scun out of the airfare. So, for example, an airfare from Manila, Philippines to Melbourne, Australia, return $327 Australian. So that's mighty cheap. And you might be thinking, is it possible? Why? Well, for a start, there's no luggage. And so the way I travel, and luggage would mean the airfare would go up in some cases substantially. So I travel with a backpack, and the rules are no more than 7 kilograms in that backpack. I typically have about 10 kilograms plus in it. And you could be unlucky and get weighed, but generally you'll get away with it.
So you must have to wash often then.
Having bases like in the Philippines or China, I leave things with friends. So that makes things easier. Normally, if I'm traveling to a new place, I might have 4 pairs of everything.
Well, that'll be a great challenge for me one day to see if I can travel just with the backpack.
International 10 years for 7 kilos. There's your challenge, Anne.
It will be a challenge, that's for sure. But I suppose we're not talking about needing any winter clothing.
No. Almost 10 and a half years of wearing T-shirts, you come home to Melbourne and you don't have anything warm. It's a shock.
Yes, Melbourne, this time of the year. We're currently, I'm talking to you in June, and June in Australia is, especially in the southern parts of Australia, is the coldest time of the year to visit.
It's the start of winter.
Well, it's been great catching up with you again and hearing where you've been. It's amazing what you're doing. It just shows you that if you follow what you really want to do, you find a way to be able to do it. And you certainly have done that by being a hard-nosed budget traveller.
Yeah, it's just my passion. It's what I love to do. And obviously, if you do something for a long time, you become very good at it.
I can hear that loud and clear. The dollar numbers you're talking are absolutely amazing. And I assume most Western people just cannot believe how you manage it.
My average spend over the last 10 and a half years is about 8,000 Australian a year, all in.
For the year?
For the year.
And that is why I suppose we need to look at where we're going to retire. I mean, some people, they'd spend that in a couple of months here in Australia.
It is difficult coming back to Oz with the prices. I went to catch a train at a railway station yesterday to buy a camera, and a bottle of water was $3.50. I had a heart attack.
And I suppose that's something that Australians aren't used to doing, looking outside of their environment to see where else maybe they could go and live much, much cheaply than where they are now.
Yeah, 8,000 a year is what I live on. But if you 25%, 50%, 100% more, you can have a very, very comfortable lifestyle.
All right. I think I've found a new profession for you, to be a consultant for retirees looking for somewhere else to live.
And there's truly so many great cities in so many great countries. And the developing world is 3/4 of the world. So you're really spoiled for choice.
So what is your favourites?
My favourites of where I've lived in the last 10 and a half years, and that is China, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, Philippines, and Indonesia. And they've been my regular bases, if you want to call it like that.
Well, there's a couple of countries there that I haven't been to. Indonesia And that's our closest neighbour too. Are you talking about Bali or you're talking about somewhere else?
Yeah, I'm talking about Bali. My hotel in Bali is $5 Australian a night. Normal price is 10.
Wow. We get spoilt, I suppose, or we don't know where to look.
The danger is you go to a place like Bali and you could be paying many multiples of that and you'd still think it was a good deal.
I'm sure we do. And you're talking about the beach hotels, getting married in Fiji seems to be one of the things Australians do these days, but the hotels are on these beaches. It probably sounds a bit like your Philippine beach. Once you get there, you're stuck there and you have to pay whatever they ask.
I had that experience when I was very young. I took an Australian girlfriend to Fiji and we stayed on a 100-acre resort. And it was, you know, book it to room service. It was a higher level sort of 7-day package that was cheap. When we asked to extend the package, it was like $300 a day extra. And then we went across the bridge to where the locals live and it was instant third world. And that's typically what happens in these luxury resorts. It's luxury surrounded by poverty.
So what sort of star rating would you call where you're living? I suppose there isn't any stars.
No. And strangely, the international, perhaps 5-star rating, there's no international agreement. It can be anything. So you have to be a bit suspect if, for example, a Chinese hotel says it's 5-star. It's going to be good, but it wouldn't be the equivalent of a real 5-star in the States or Australia. And then, of course, you've got Dubai claiming 7 stars for their, you know, 20,000 a night or 50,000 a night hotel.
I suppose you know where you're going, but how hard would it be for anyone else that hasn't been to a country before to go there without any prior bookings and find a good deal once they got there?
Best way to start, just get a return airfare or one way if you're going long-term traveling. And you can look up on the net. If you look at WikiTravel and the city that you're interested in, so type in Google WikiTravel Bangkok, for example, and there is a very good rundown of what to expect, a quick bit of history, typical hotel prices. It's a very nicely prepared site. So WikiTravel with the city that you're going to, that's how you search.
Yep. I think what you're doing is absolutely amazing. We could talk here all day, but we don't have all day, unfortunately. If you find some new places that you are fond of, maybe we can talk again another time and share what else you've been doing in the future.
It'd be my pleasure, Anne. Thank you.
You're welcome. And if anyone wanted to follow you at all, where would they do that? Ask questions.
I'm Writer of the Year amongst many other people, of course, but I'm Writer of the Year on Kiora, Q-U-O-R-A. Mm-hmm. What Kiora is when you Google, you're getting a response from a robot. When you ask a question in Kiora, you're actually getting an answer from a person who specializes in that area. So, for example, one of the guys from the space station answers questions. So you can imagine you get a very high level of expertise, very different to a Google search. It's not a way to find me, although I would have a lot of answers on retirement and travel. So if you search within Kiora for anything to do with travel or anything to do with retirement, you'll certainly see some of my posts there amongst many other good posts. So it is a great resource.
Well, thanks very much once again for being on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. And we look forward to catching up with you another time. Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, Anne. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.